Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day in our weekly rhythm of learning to follow Jesus, where we study the Bible together as a community. We're in a series right now called Pioneer Story, where we're reading through the book of Acts, seeing how the very first Christians organized themselves as a community. And this week we're talking about Pioneer Pork, how the Christians figured out what to do with the dietary laws that had been part of their religion as Jews, trying to figure out whether they applied to others or not. Well, yesterday I shared with you a story about visiting a family who asked me to observe their Jewish dietary laws to enjoy hospitality and enjoy their ski house. The laws that they were following as a family are found in the Old Testament part of the Bible. And so we might wonder, why don't Christians follow them? If Christians call the Bible God's word, then why don't Christians pay attention to those rules about not eating pork, not eating certain shellfish, or mixing cheese and meat together, and all sorts of other laws that you can find there about what to eat and what not to eat, how to wash your hands, and so on. Why don't Christians follow those rules today? I certainly don't. Well, that kind of question is actually more important than you may think, because so many vocal opponents of Christianity today will object to any Christian moral teaching and say, well, how can you teach something from the Bible when you don't follow all of the laws that can be found in the Bible about women wearing hats and about what you eat and how you wash your hands and so on. So people will point out laws in the Old Testament that Christians don't follow and call Christians hypocritical because of it. So it actually is important that we understand the reasons why Christians don't follow certain laws. It's not just a hypocritical spur of the moment, I don't like that kind of decision, but there was a particular event that brought all this on, and we're going to explore that story today. This is something the very first Christians had to wrestle with, not just us, because we might be surprised to recall that the very first Christians that we read about in the Bible were all Jewish. They were already Jews, like Peter or like Paul. So they were already following the Jewish dietary laws. And so when other people started to become Christians, they actually had to stop and say, does somebody become a Christian by becoming a Jew first? Or can they simply become a Christian from whatever starting point? Something they actually had to figure out, even though today most of us just assume Christians eat whatever they want. It's not something they just decided on their own, but rather something that happened when Peter, one of the very first Christian leaders, had a vision from God where he was told to go and visit a certain individual, a non-Jew, named Cornelius, and he actually went and did it. Here's the story. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in to him and say, Cornelius. He stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened, and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. The voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who's well spoken by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them. Some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." As he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered, and he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." Well, Cornelius the centurion was what they called a God-fearer. He was not a Jew himself, but he was somebody studying Judaism and attracted by it, maybe considering becoming a Jew himself, which would have been a big step to take. He was clearly held in good regard by the Jewish community. But something happens to him. He has this vision where he's told directly to send for Peter, Simon Peter. So he does it. He hears that vision and he actually sends his people to do what the vision says. And it's amazing because at the same time, Peter is having a vision as well. Peter's vision is one of, you know, what I always picture as a picnic blanket coming down from heaven with all sorts of food on it. And Peter, you know, almost thinks it's a test. He says, no, I wouldn't eat any of that. I'm a good Jew. But he's told by God, who created all those things and who gave the laws in the first place saying not to eat certain foods, that God says to him in that vision, "Go ahead. Things are different now." Peter obviously isn't one to be tricked. It actually has to happen three times before his dream and vision ends and he actually goes and follows through on what that vision tells him. So clearly there was a clear vision from God, a clear sense that God was doing something new here, because otherwise you wouldn't expect Peter to just jump up and suddenly change a practice that he would have had his entire life as a God-fearing Jew. So clearly it was made extremely abundantly clear to him that this was a change that God wanted. And that's what I want you to think about in your question and discussion today. So what other signs are there in this story that this is actually God's plan and not just something that Peter dreamt up, a hallucination maybe, or just his own plan and idea to change the Christian faith or something like that? What signs in the story do you see that show that this was a real move of God? Hope you'll share that discussion with some friends, some neighbors, some people you know who might be interested in exploring what it means to follow Jesus. And you can start a discussion group that meets regularly, even if you don't watch the videos together. Don't forget, we read the Bible in sync as a community too. So we have a Bible reading every day in our app and website that you can find to see what the rest of the community is reading and learning about today as well. Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.